Hello, everybody, and welcome to Divine Manifesting. This is Rebecca Grotto, and I'm so happy to be with you on this beautiful fall day. Christy is off gallivanting about. You know Christy, she's always out manifesting something. So she won't be with us today, but we are so lucky. I always feel so blessed to have Karen Wilson on the show with us. She was with us last week with Christy and I. And, oh, my gosh, just a wealth of information. I adore her energy. She is so lovely. And so I think everybody who is listening today is so blessed to be on the show listening to Karen and all her just unbelievable information. So welcome, Karen. Thank you for being on.
Well, hello, Rebecca. I'm so glad to be back again. I really, really enjoy our time together. It goes so fast for me.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, and you get to put up with Christy and I. I know you and I have had the show together three times now. But Christy was on last week, the three of us, and I was like, poor Karen, she's just trying to tame these just unbelievably out of control girls. So let me just apologize for last week. And I,
it was fun, really
oh,
fun.
Good, good. You got right into the spirit of it. So yeah, welcome everybody. And you know, Karen and I just thought we would talk a little bit more, go deeper into what we talked about last week and how it relates to manifesting, because I don't know about anybody who's listening who was on last week, but for me, oh my gosh, the stuff that Karen was talking about in terms of the, you know, the lunar eclipse and the solar, upcoming solar eclipse, it really made such an impact on me, and I know I have been feeling just all so topsy-turvy in my life, and I can really feel a lot of just juicy and delicious stuff coming up ready to be released. So, you know, I think I blame the eclipses, and I think that's what's happening.
Might as well. They won't talk back. Well, actually, they do.
They're just laughing at me right now, all those beings out there. But I really feel like, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And I'm wondering if, Karen, you would be willing to do a brief recap of what you were telling both Chris and I last week about the lunar eclipse that had just happened. Was it last Monday night? And then the solar eclipse that will be happening on September 11th. If you wouldn't mind, you know, filling the listeners in, because, again, it really made such an impact on me.
Oh, not a problem. I'd love to. And it's interesting that, you know, the show is on Tuesdays, and these eclipses, this window of opportunity that we're all experiencing, you know, happens on Tuesdays. Now, is that convenient or what?
Oh, it's perfect.
I mean, if you're going to do it, do it.
Yes.
Sure. There was, as last Tuesday, about 3:30 in the morning on the 29th of August, a lunar eclipse. Very powerful, beautiful. And that began sort of this, the opening of this window, this time that we're right in the middle of now. So the first thing I want to say is that if people are feeling, I like your word topsy-turvy, Rebecca, but if you can't sleep or you're more sleepy than usual or you're kind of feeling negative and don't know why, you know, a lot of people are complaining of food not digesting or not tasting right or feeling frustrated or kind of stuck, just kind of the emotional headaches, you know, that's the kind of thing that's up right now. That's, especially if you're sensitive to what's going on in the ethers, that's really a time that's up. And that's the good news. It's
not
sort of
personal.
Like entering into the cocoon of a butterfly.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot going on. Very, very intense energies happening right now between these eclipses and the solar flares and all the electromagnetic waves and shifts that are coming on. And it feels like, gosh, we're working so hard to heal ourselves and the planet, to bring peace, to manifest and create beautiful things. How is it that these, you know, etheric energies are knocking us off our horses? You know?
Right.
It's not to bring us down.
Mm-hmm.
It's to make us clear on who we are,
right,
on what we do want in our lives and what we don't. So what supports us? What drains us?
Mm-hmm.
What what gives us our freedom and what absolutely puts us in chains.
Help bring clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's personal and it's individual, and it's not to bring problems, but it's to help us really look at the core of who we are in a realistic and current way.
Yes.
Not just who we were, but who we are now and where do we want to go. So to do this from a truly empowered place with our mind and our heart present is what this kind of chaotic time is offering to us. So, you know, if what we've been praying for, what people have been working to manifest in their life is coming, this is to help us make sure we're ready for it.
Right.
Because there is this letting go that opens the new space for what wants to come.
Yes.
So it's likely to be a little rocky and a little bumpy right now as we are being asked to be clear. Okay, what are we done with?
Right.
You know, what is it? Bye-bye. You know, to clear the space.
Yes.
And to be gentle with ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, to pace ourselves through this time. We have enough time so that we can be as gentle as we can with ourselves, and so that our higher selves and our guides have the time to work with us and work with all these energies. So it's really kind of beautiful.
And I think I appreciate what you're saying, because I think the part that was so impactful for me, and I think it's so important for people to know, is once we can sort of put a label on something, you know, it's like if you've been just feeling icky and then the doctor finally tells you, oh, I get it, it's your thyroid, there's this feeling of such great relief, like, oh, thank goodness.
I'm not crazy. Making it up.
Exactly. I can identify the problem and then relax and allow it to be what it is. Or you're just getting over a flu. Or you did have a virus in your body. There's just this, and I think that's what felt so great for me, is I can allow myself to be more fully present with, you know, it feels like what I've been saying to people over and over again since we spoke last week is it feels like this whole big garbage can was dumped upside down. And
yes.
It's all out there now, and now I get to sort through it and go, okay, this is staying, this is leaving, this is staying, this is going. But had I not been able to identify it, to label it as, oh my gosh, between, you know, this period and September 11th, between August 29th and September 11th, everything's going to be topsy-turvy. And there's almost like an excitement for me that it's such a great opportunity to get in there and declutter my emotional space and my mental space and my entire astral space. It's such a great time for me to get in there, roll my sleeves, and do some wonderful decluttering. And of course I'm going to feel moody, and when you just said the indigestion, I'm like, I have never had heartburn in my life. Sister, I have had heartburn.
Wow. Yeah.
I have had a nasty bout of heartburn, and physical stuff usually just doesn't, you know, bother me too much. And I've been, what is up with this heartburn, you know? And so again, it gives such a sense of validation to my experience. Go ahead.
Oh, well, good. And the digestion thing is interesting, and that's uh-huh. why I made sure to mention it, because during especially these prolonged times where we're looking inside and clearing things out and opening space and attempting to get clear on what we desire and what we're
mm-hmm.
pulling into our lives,
mm-hmm.
the whole process of digestion is very close to this. What we digest, how we assimilate new ideas, new information, new space, new people and relationships in our life. So that's why it's very closely aligned there.
Oh, okay.
And this, you know, as we go through this eye of this needle for this next period of time, it might feel very condensed and compressed, like a pressure, but we are really, it's working for us. It's not against us, and it's really important, because sometimes when all this stuff's happening, we think it feels like everything's against us.
Yes.
But this is really happening for us.
Exactly.
And the more sensitive we are to it, actually allow yourself to ride the wave and to
mm-hmm.
feel the gratitude that mm-hmm. at least, you know, you're being helped during this growth period.
Right.
And we will feel some sense of relief when we come out the other end.
Yeah.
You know, we will feel a little, however that is for each of us, a little freer,
right.
A little clearer,
exactly.
A little calmer.
We're moving towards all that we desire. I know I use the image a lot with people that, you know, when you want your garage cleaned out, I hope many of us have been there, and it's not just me, but whenever you get into that closet you've left for, you know, 7-10 years.
Oh, man.
Or that garage you haven't looked at for 20 years. You know, the great thing is there's a beautiful intention, which is I want more space in my life. I want to be able to bring the car in, and I want to be able to have, you know, more simplicity in my life. And there's a great intention, but any of you know that, you know, boy, about halfway through the day of you know, you've got all your stuff now sitting in the driveway, and you're just in the middle of it going, what was I thinking? This is horrible. How did I get here? Who put this stuff here? And I feel so victimized. And it's like, I think that's what this time period represents, is don't become it and don't get caught up in it.
I think that's really, really important, because what you're talking about, getting caught up in it, is the past.
Yes.
And that's really easy to do. It's tempting, anyway, as we are sitting here decluttering, to use your word. You know, what stays, what goes, what am I done with, what's still important to me.
Right.
And to stay in the present as you declutter, rather than being caught or lost in
right.
the past.
Victimized by it.
Mm-hmm. And yes. and so it's a time to dream hugely.
Yeah.
And not postpone your beauty. You know, not postpone ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, during this time, if you feel a little crazy, let yourself feel a little crazy.
Exactly.
And without losing your faith in this process.
And just know that the crazy is happening because you're trying to get that garage so cleaned out. Garage is the metaphor for your inner stuff. So it's like, celebrate the fact that you have intended to have this, you know, this beauty and simplicity in your life rather than getting caught up in all this stuff. You know, I just heard, because I think what you're saying is so, so important, is we all have those lists of you know, the stuff that needs to get done. And I don't know about you, Karen, but the older I get, the longer the list becomes of just stuff I need to get to, stuff that is, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, I never finished this, and someday I'm going to, and, you know, one of these days I'm going to finish that quilt, and on and on and on. And I heard it said the other day, and it really struck a chord with me, that the average person has 300 hours of unfinished business. And all of that stuff is just, you know, it's sort of like we're just dragging it behind us. And how can we possibly be present in what we are trying to create in this moment? Because we have all this unfinished stuff. And really, if you stop and look at it, it doesn't even, you know, it's like that quilt doesn't even fit your house anymore. Let it go. Or
I was going to say, even to we declare what's unfinished, we label that, and it may be finished.
Right.
It may not be unfinished anymore. It may be done.
Right. Exactly.
And having the idea for the quilt may be all that was intended for you.
Uh-huh. Perfect. And that's what I think this time really means for me, is going through and saying, you know, I don't need, exactly, I got what I needed to do. That was an idea that was brilliant, and it led to this idea, but I don't need to ever finish that idea. That idea is in the past, and I can let it go. So really, I think for me, this time represents updating my files and bringing only into this moment what is meant to be and letting go of everything else. I mean, you know, you're right, and an example is someday I'm going to finish that baby quilt. Your baby is 19 years old. It was a great idea.
Uh-huh.
It served the purpose. He doesn't need it anymore.
And neither do you.
Nor do I. You know, nor do I, and I don't need to hold on to it anymore. It's out of time. It's not in present time anymore. So I remember even saying that to my family this weekend. It's like, we need to update. We need to get into present time. We keep expecting things to be a certain way, and maybe they're not working anymore because they're not in present time. So I think this is such a beautiful, beautiful time to let things get and almost embrace the topsy-turvy, because it's helping us clear out. You know, again, I used that expression last week, but let that which is leaving leave. I don't need to finish the quilt and then give it away to somebody before I can let it go. It's like it's served its purpose, and it's no longer useful. So it really frees us. I mean, you know, even as we're talking about this, Karen, I can feel in my body the freedom within to only create and, as you said, dream huge, because I'm unencumbered by all the stuff, you know, from the past.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is really an important time, and so I'm really glad that we're spending a few minutes to recap, because we're all in this together, you know. This is a very big boat, and those of us who have sensitivity to this, I think it's just a very powerful time.
Right. And the other topic we talked about last week were our dreams, and, you know, bringing the unconscious, you know, into, you know, sort of allowing that the unconscious realms to come through in a myriad of ways. But one of the ways they come through and direct us and protect us and guide us is through our dreams. You know, you had so much information on dreams, Karen, and interestingly enough, since we spoke last week, my dreams have just been amazingly there at the forefront. You know, it's like, it's just amazing to me how clear my dreams have been. And I know I spoke with Christy, and she was like, I am dreaming all over the place. We spoke about dreams. And I don't know if it's because we talked about them on the show last week, or do you think it has anything to do with this time period between the eclipses?
Well, I don't think I can give a definitive answer there, but I do believe that our dreams reflect where we are. And as we talked about last week, our dreams tend to be a little bit ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
So these times, collectively and individually, and what's happening astrologically, of course, is going to have some impact. And I think it's possible for us, again, to use this time to enter our dream times and ask for guidance and ask for help. And if we haven't been journaling our dreams, this is a fabulous time to, upon wakening, just write down whatever little snippets are still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go, if you want to, go into a few very practical things for people if they're having trouble recalling dreams or they haven't been writing down, to utilize this information.
I think that would be really helpful, because I want to say the premise is that our dreams, you know, for me, they're starting to feel more like that best friend, that guide, that is sort of, like you said, they're just a little ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way you said that, Karen, because it really does feel like if you're listening to your dreams, if you're really creating that habit space of hearing that friend, boy, how many of us couldn't use another guide in our life, another person that's really just assisting us and directing us. So I think that would be really useful. And, you know, and before we get into that, I want to mention to listeners that Karen and I today are taking calls from anybody who has questions for either Karen or I, and it can be about anything. It doesn't have to be about dreams or about this, you know, time during the eclipses. But if you'd like to call in, we have two numbers, and they're both toll-free. The U.S. number is 877-876-5227. That number is 877-876-5227. We also have a Canadian line, which is 888-815-9756. One more time, that's 888-815-9756. And please feel free to call in. We would be happy to answer anybody's questions. And yeah, Karen, I think it would be really important to give people some tools or techniques to being able to sort of harvest or collect their dreams more easily.
Well, one way, of course, is to, before you go to sleep, intend to remember your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy habit to get yourself into, and it sort of settles your body and mind and settles into the surrender and the rest and the comfort that sleep is. And, you know, we know now, pretty much people know, we have REM sleep, R-E-M, rapid eye movement, and then deeper sleep. And dreams happen during our REM sleep when we're not out like a rock. You know? And so oftentimes dreams happen in the early mornings. We're sort of in and out of sleep, sort of hypnagogic time, you know, we're in and out of sleep. And so just upon wakening, even if you think, well, was that really a dream? Or did I really hear that music? Or somebody just said this line to me. Write it down.
Mm-hmm.
It does not have to be a complete, full-blown movie. You know, a lot of people said, oh, I only get a little piece here, a little piece there. That's a dream.
Uh-huh.
That's information.
Right.
That is from your subconscious to your consciousness. That's a knock on your door from your deepest self. Write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the smallest little piece is important. So upon wakening, if the quieter our body can be before we actually write something down, the more of the dream we'll tend to retain. So if you don't have to get up and go into the other room to get something to write, say you want a pen and a little pad or something right next to you or as close as you can, and just upon wakening, just write down your dream. Some people have had great success having in the middle of the night when they kind of have a dream and waken to those little dream pens with a light on them, just to write it down and go back to sleep, and they don't remember writing it down, but there it is.
Yes.
And as we do this a little more often, this habit of dreams, and they get stronger, and our recall gets stronger, like anything else. And you'll have this information with you. There are different ideas about dreams in different cultures. I have a Navajo friend who, in their culture, if you dream of someone else, it's real. And so upon wakening, whatever information was there, whatever the dream said, whatever that person was doing, you must share that with that person in your life before you can eat anything. So, you know, there's some different cultural takes upon dreams, but across the world, we humans know that this is deeply, deeply important. As a matter of fact, there's some wonderful cultures that upon every morning, at gathering, whether it's breakfast or just getting together in the morning, to share dreams.
How affirming.
Isn't that beautiful?
Round. That is really beautiful. I'm thinking for children, how very affirming of the truth of that part of ourselves that we can be so neglectful of. Oh, that is a beautiful custom.
And I think it's not only beautiful for the respect of the inner life,
mm-hmm.
But it also respect for our waking time. In other words, when we acknowledge that our dreams when we're sleeping, our sleep dreams are important, I think we also acknowledge that our dreams are, you know, I want that job, or I want to someday live in that country, or, you know, I'm smart enough to go for that degree. You know, that our dreams, whether our sleeping dreams or waking dreams, I think it crosses over, and I think it's a beautiful message.
Right. The potential.
Yes.
The pure potential for all things to be. Oh, that is so wonderful. I just love what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. So.
And I, even though we said this last week, I think we're right there again, and that is to, oftentimes children have uncomfortable dreams or being chased or dark dreams or something, and it's important to listen, just to listen to those dreams. And we can, as we spoke of last week, teach ourselves and support our children in getting the practice within the dream to ask for the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're chased by a tiger or a kind of a dark figure, they don't know who it is. Rather than being afraid, this practice absolutely transfers into a confidence in our waking life.
Right.
Because if we can turn around and ask that stranger that's stalking us behind the, mm-hmm. you know, the trees, what is your gift for me?
Uh-huh.
That translates into incredible confidence in our waking life.
I remember one time, just a little off subject, but you sparked a memory. My son once said to me, he said, "Oh, I have this recurring dream," and you know, my little psychotherapist ears perked up, and I'm like, "Ooh, tell me your dreams, and I'll analyze them for you."
Oh.
I was all rubbing my hands together like, ooh, great.
And you were young.
Yeah, exactly. And so he starts telling me about, you know, well, I always have this recurring dream. It's just, it's happened forever where I'm like on this battlefield and I'm battling all these aliens and I'm just like, you know, I'm winning and I'm just like so conquering them. And you know, of course, my psychotherapist mind is thinking, very good. He's, you know, he's conquering. He's feeling successful in life. And he says, and then I'm running up to the top of this little knoll, just about ready to get over the edge, you know, where I'll, you know, to safety, and they shoot me dead. And my heart just sunk, and I thought, oh, my gosh, we have to repair this. You can repair this, sweetheart, you know, and I started to think, you know, how can we go in and do some lucid dreaming so you feel like you just make it to the other side safe and sound. And he was so funny, you know, he looks at me like, oh, mommy, you just so don't know.
And we don't, do we?
No, she so just doesn't get this. And I'm thinking, wow, you need to fix this. And the way he looked at me was like, what's to fix? It was
yes.
Just a body.
Yes.
You lose them all the time, Mom. You'll get this when you evolve a little more. There's nothing to fear about death. And it was so cute because I so got it. His dreams, he was having so much fun with this whole concept called life and death, and you have a body and you drop a body and you come back and you get a new one, and I was so caught up in this whole thing. But
so that speaks perfectly to this window that we're all experiencing right now.
Hmm.
What stays and what dies off?
Yes.
What lives and what dies?
And what do you take seriously?
Yes, it's not always the end. That we need to focus on the beginning that's attempting to come.
Exactly.
So, you know, just to kind of tie these dreams and what we're talking about in terms of dreams and the time in this window that we're all living in.
Yes. Yeah. To my credit, I did get that. When he said it to me, it was so easy for me to course correct and go, oh, my gosh. There is nothing to repair here. You absolutely have it perfectly, which is... take your life lightly. It's just a body. And he was so clear he wasn't his body. He wasn't only his body. He was just this big game, and he was just playing a game, and he wasn't taking it all seriously. And it so wasn't a problem for him or a quote-unquote failure that
he
had done.
We can certainly learn from our children, can't we?
Well, I they're not going to learn from me. So
Well, and even when we think they're learning something other than what we think we're teaching them.
Exactly. But it's so fun to catch yourself in those moments where you're, like, so pompous, thinking, oh, I've got the answer to this. And the look in their eyes is like, oh, you're so funny.
You don't have a clue.
No, now he's 19 and he towers over me, and it's so funny when he comes up and puts his arm around me and taps me on the head like, oh, mommy, you're so cute. And it's like, don't be condescending to me, son. Okay, I'm doing my best here. Can I please have my egoic identity? Somebody who has an answer, please, just give me that. So, oh, that's so great. But, yeah, I know that dream was just a little off, you know, off of what you were talking about. But the importance of these dreams can be so... you know, again, I think at that moment in time for him, it really cemented, I think, in his psyche that don't take things too seriously. It's all just a game. It's all, you've used this word before, I think, impermanent. It's just
yes.
So impermanent. Don't be attached, you know. Yeah, so not only was I think he cementing that as a recurring dream in his mind, he definitely taught me of, oh, yes, I remember that whole thing of non-attachment.
And the idea of recurring dreams is one of these basic practical things to mention, too. Oftentimes, dreams can occur in a serial fashion, almost like a television program has,
yes.
You know. And so sometimes it feels like a new dream, but it feels tied to another dream. Go with that intuitive knowing.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes a recurring dream can be a recurring theme.
Mm-hmm.
That your creative higher self is knocking on several doors, going all the way around your house, trying to get in.
Yes.
And this is another way that we can, if we're recording dreams and remembering dreams, to honor our inner life.
That's a good point.
And I want to say something, too, about, in terms of interpreting dreams. And your story is so sweet and so wise in that we can't really interpret somebody else's dream.
Mm-hmm.
We, even if we're really experienced in it, as a matter of fact, the more experienced we are, the better we listen and we can guide and open
ask
up
questions.
Some possibilities and point out some things that people may not have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's all said and done, the aha, oh, that's what that is. I know what that is. Boom. And
mm-hmm.
and because the message is from us to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get help with our dreams, and
right.
it's wonderful to do that. But when the final analysis is the aha that passes by our heart or our gut and go, whoa, that's what that means for me.
Right.
And
right.
that in itself is empowering.
Uh-huh.
And increases confidence and a knowing. This know thyself
mm-hmm.
is a gift from our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to us nightly. And for those people, I know sometimes people say, oh, I don't dream.
Yeah.
But not like you, saying, oh, my gosh, my nighttime is so busy, I'm exhausted all day.
Uh-huh. yeah, exactly.
We all dream.
Yeah.
We all dream. Sometimes we recall them more easily than perhaps during times of stress. We don't connect as much. And sometimes we connect more. There is no one recipe when it comes to dreams. And there's something so fabulous about that in our sleeping dream and, again, in our waking dream. We all don't want the same things.
Mm-hmm.
We all dream different dreams for
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when an old dream is over, like that quilt, mm-hmm. that was a dream that you
right.
started. And that dream is gone, and it's time to dream another dream.
Right.
And that's filled with hope.
Well, and you're reminding me of what Chris and I talk about a lot on this show is the law of allowing ourselves to be again here in the now instead of yesterday, and holding ourselves accountable for, it's sort of that old constrictive thinking of, you started it, you need to finish it. You know, if you you can almost hear that parental voice of saying, well, if you open something up, you must complete it. Well, I don't know that that's true. Maybe there's some wisdom in some of that, but, you know, it's like, does it allow you to be in the present moment? If it's not something that needs to be completed, I love what you said earlier, the wisdom may not have been in the completion of it, and that is very true of my son. Somebody very wise once told me that about him, is he's not at all about the completion of things. He loves the beginning stages of all things.
He's a big idea person, huh?
He is. He's mm-hmm. so creative. And for him to have to take the time to complete something is, that's just my picture. That's not his. He loves the beginning phases of all things. And so, you know, he's not invested in, nor does he get any return from, the middle stage or the completing of it. And so that's just my picture, that's my rigid picture I need to let go of. And the minute I heard that, I was so much more allowing of him to start a bunch of new things and not feel the need to teach him the lesson of you need to complete that. But just allow him to, what did you learn from that, and are you finished? Yes, I feel finished. Good. Then you're done. You don't need to finish the puzzle. You don't need to finish the book. You don't need to finish, you know, your soccer that you started. You can complete those things and feel like you want to complete them, but allow that. For some of us, you know, we love to start 20,000 new books and never finish them. It's like I just never felt the need to get back to that book. So, you know, but I can really see where within myself I carry that old someday, I can't throw the book away because someday I need to get back to it and finish it. So I've got a whole stack of books by the side of my bed because I'm not giving myself permission to just say, it's done. You're never going to get back to that book, nor do you desire to. There's a whole new set of books, new library you're creating now?
You know, I think it's kind of both.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because when we start something, of course, we have the idea that we're starting it right now. We may have had a dream or a thought about studying this or reading this book or picking up a book by this particular author a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not even be starting it when you think you're starting it.
Right. Exactly.
Our dreams may have been telling us for some time that it's time to change jobs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when we start that process, are we actually starting it now, or was it started a long time ago?
Right.
So this idea of starting and being done, you know, when you've read as much as the pull of that, again, to the book, when you're done, you are done. In
exactly.
other words, the completion happens on page 20.
Maybe you were only Maybe you were only supposed to get the idea on chapter 3, and past chapter 3, you're done. You know, so
exactly.
Yeah, I absolutely hear what you're saying. And so, again, there's that honoring of, does it feel like there's more than hold on to the book? Does it feel like it's important to come back to it, then hold on to it? If not, let it go. So, you know, is there? How can we use our dreams? You were talking about recording our dreams and becoming more aware of them and having a journal by the bed and setting the intention before you go to sleep. Are there other things that we can do in order to use our dreams to guide us or to even remember those dreams so that they can guide us?
Well, if we get into the habit of setting intention, surrendering,
mm-hmm.
beginning to record, write them down, remember, and talk to people about them. I think talking about our dreams is really important.
Well,
it is important, too, who we tell our dreams to. In other words, someone who also dreams, someone also who believes in dreams, sleeping dreams and waking dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who doesn't support you in any way is not someone to tell your dreams to.
Right.
But there are, you know, finding dream buddies and dream groups, and this is why even recording and speaking to yourself and believing this is real information. This isn't just fun and games. This is real.
Uh-huh.
And it comes, and when we look at our dreams, to stay in kind of a half-asleep place in a not too concrete, that's really important when we're listening to our own dreams, when we're listening to someone else's, to not have the first idea when we hear the story or we hear the snippet, to say, oh, well, that means this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I want,
mm-hmm.
you know, entering dreams with wonder and curiosity to keep the edges sort of not too hard focused. I wonder,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think maybe, oh, you know what, but, oh, no, ah, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get to the interpretation of a dream, is to start with the wonder.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, we're so fast, we have so much information, and we're taught, like this beginning and finish, we're taught to what it really means,
mm-hmm.
and to stay soft with ourselves,
right.
and open and curious is where the real information can come through,
mm-hmm.
our intuitive input can come through, our psychic knowing, and we can't put a rock around that, we have to stay fluid and open. And in wonder and grateful.
And as you were talking, just as you're getting up, you know, whether it's in the middle of the night or you're just coming, you know, out of that deep sleep, it feels like the doors are all open. And then as you start to wake up more fully, the doors start shutting, you know, that shutting to the other realm. And some of us can keep doors open a little more, windows open, but the image I got in my mind as you were talking is you're very open. Doors are still open, and you can look to the other side. You can ask those questions. But I feel like, at least for myself, as I start to wake up, my mind starts shutting those doors and has its certainty, has its answers. You know, and,
yes.
I think the fun part, and probably why I told the story of my son, is it's fun to catch yourself when you thought you had the answer and you were just so clear and so certain, and then to have somebody else bring in something that just totally makes your mind go tilt. And that, for me, is always fun because it's...
That's a giggle.
It's a giggle.
I just call it, you know, the universe is full of giggles if, if we just open to them.
Exactly. It's like a little, you're so busted.
I'm like,
I love being busted. Because I love being busted wide open, you know?
Yes,
show
yes.
me something new and different because I thought I had all the answers.
It's called learning. If we have all the answers, we're done. And
exactly.
life really isn't so much fun anymore.
That's fun.
I have one other thing possibly to mention around dreams,
okay.
And that's astral traveling.
Okay.
I, from my point of view and in my experience, I think what I want to do is debunk the idea that it's this, you have to be highly developed and esoteric or something to be able to astral travel.
Mm-hmm.
What we do naturally is astral travel. That is simply our spirit sort of taking a break from the confines of our bodies. Of this gravity-challenged body that, you know, I do love the body, and we also need a break from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we practice falling asleep, and we slide out. We just go out. When we fall asleep, and we all do that, you know, you start nodding, and your eyes kind of get heavy, and then we fall asleep. We exit, and we travel. And with practice, and knowing that it's true, it's not special. Again, just with these practices of paying attention, entering sleep, with time and a little practice, you can visit other people. You can visit other places. You can see what's going on. I do some of my healing work during dream time, doing astral traveling and seeing what's going on. I just had a client not too recently needed to go back to her home in Brazil. There was some illness going on, and she was concerned about it, and because there's a lot of family dynamics and who was going to want what, do what. And she asked if I would, if I could visit and help, and I said okay. And by the way, if you do any healing astral work, you always do need permission from the person. You don't do peeping things. And I went, and I saw this older woman with white hair sleeping in the same room with her. And that, my attention kept going to that person. And long story short, this was the person that she needed to visit. This was the person that she needed to open to. And when I called and let her know what I saw, because no one in her family was listening to this older family member who had incredible wisdom. And once she began to ask this person historical questions about the family, about what needed to be done, about how they all kind of got there in Brazil, etc., this woman was a wealth of information, but she wasn't going to just say it unless someone asked.
Mm.
So, you know, we do astral travel. And it's very natural, and it's a beautiful part of being human. It's beautiful.
Right, right.
And
so much that we do in our sleep space and in our sleep state. It can be so healing. I know even Carl Jung talked about dreams and as essential for our health and well-being. And just as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, it's so important to honor that time and to really set the stage for, at least that's what I'm feeling as you're talking, you know, to just bring more honor to that space of leaving our bodies and all that we do, you know, it's so restorative and, you know, and so healing, and we're not just healing ourselves and dreaming our futures and big dreams, but we can actually go out and heal others and, probably, I think there's a lot of us that are healing the planet. That I know I have a lot of dreams that I bring back that I've been working on the planet and, you know, working on just helping out on the whole planetary issues that are going on now. And so I think we all work hard.
Yes, we do.
No wonder we're exhausted.
Yes, we do. And we rest.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We need our rest.
Yeah, definitely. That's really interesting. It feels to me like it's such a time right now of, again, releasing so much as we're talking about dreaming and sort of thinking about what we want to bring in and where we want to go and to dream big and to, you know, manifest our realities. It just in ways that we you know, it's like just be unabashedly huge when you're dreaming and throwing it out there and believe that you can have all that you absolutely desire. And you know, and I guess the image that it always goes through me is the bigger I cast my net, the farther out that I cast my net, you know, the less encumbered I need to be. And so there's always this give and take of, you know, casting out there and relinquishing. And it's like, you know, again, that mantra of, you know, let that which is leaving leave so that you can really be open to bringing in more. It just, I can feel it as you're talking, Karen, and I don't know if that's something you feel.
Oh, you know, and I haven't thought of this quote in a long time. You know me in quotes.
Mm. Mm.
While you're talking, it's Marianne Williamson.
Yes. She is one of my favorites.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate.
Yes.
Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Yes.
It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, who are you not to be?
Exactly.
As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Your playing small does not serve the world. So I haven't thought of that in a long time, and I love that quote.
Oh, it's so beautiful, and it's, I guess that is the truth of what we are all seeking, is that absolute greatness that lies within and releasing all that is just not in alignment with that truth. And the more that we can release what we're not, we get to embrace what we are. So whether it's our dreams or whether it's just in our waking state, the work that we do through meditation and through all that we do, I guess, you know, we become just incredible manifestors when we know our power, when we know who we are.
Well, we're dreaming all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we have waking dreams and sleep dreams. We're dreaming right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're interpreting things, and we're giving meaning to things and these topics, and we are choosing to spend our time with one another and with these listeners. We're creating a field of people who really believe in the powers that we have and want to become more clear on aligning ourselves with what's most important to us while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a beautiful thing.
Oh,
and,
so yeah.
And so to weave backwards into this, when do you start something and when are you completed? You're completed when you say, I'm done. We're
mm-hmm.
completed when we say, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop is a magical word for me.
Mm-hmm.
Stop has magic in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we say we have a habit, you know, and I've been meaning to stop smoking, I've been trying, nobody likes, you know, I can't smoke anymore, and I've cut down, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
When we stop, the magic in stop says, when I stop something, I am actually saying, I believe there's more. I believe there's more of something better coming for me.
Right.
So even if it's stopping that book or you're done with the quilt,
uh-huh.
stopping has magic in it, mm-hmm. in the policy of stopping when you feel done. You automatically are opening something, space, creativity, another dream. Something is opening when we stop.
That's exactly it. Is there something so potent in that? When you let go, you must have a belief that there's something bigger coming in. There's something greater in this moment that you're meant to be experiencing, and that it's almost like that process of letting go, that process of opening your hands and letting go what you've been holding on so tight to. There has to be a premise in your mind somewhere that something bigger is about ready to come in. And so that's very potent what you're saying. It's almost like we only can let go if we realize in the recesses of our mind, maybe, if not at the forefront of our minds, that something greater is right here just waiting for me to embrace. And so that's huge, Karen. That's so huge. And I love the idea that we're always dreaming. And I'm sure so many listeners today, you know, because I just feel that. I mean, how many of us were called or shamed for dreaming in school? You're just a daydreamer. You need to get your
Absolutely.
Mind back over here. And
or who are you to think you can climb that mountain, you know?
Yes, exactly.
When I think the short time we're here, whether it's 2 days or 150 years, it's always short, that
uh-huh.
it's our job to fulfill our dreams.
Right.
It's not necessarily our individual job to right all the wrongs of the world. Our world, if we each individually do our part, that equals the world.
Uh-huh.
So as you dream your dream, and I dream my dream, and everyone listening here, finds a dream, clarifies their next dream, knows where they are in the process of fulfilling the dream that they have created. That's how we support each other.
Right.
That's how we, you know, create more beauty.
Mm-hmm. We open doors to opportunities. Christy and I say this in our book. You know, when we're competitive, somebody achieves something, but then they close the door behind them because otherwise they can't be superior if everybody else follows suit, right? You know, it's like, so if I achieve something and I'm achieving it from a competitive-minded place, then I must close the door behind me and say, look at me, look at this realm I have conquered. But inspiration, you know, opens the doors. One passes through and opens the doors and just invites everybody else to come through, and that's, as you're saying that, it reminds me of dreaming. The dream is like as one person achieves something, they achieve it for all. They now have just opened that realm of possibility for everybody. And nothing inspires me more than to see somebody open a realm of possibility that I had not even thought of, because it just sends tingles down my body. As they've done it, they've inspired everybody, and they've given everybody the yes. You can do this. Like you said, what used to be a no is now a yes. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we all benefit from that. So.
It's like Sheldrake and his morphogenic fields and the 100 monkeys.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, once somebody gets the idea,
uh-huh.
it's in the field, and
exactly.
it's now a possibility.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about dreams, because we all have them, and we all aren't dreaming of the same thing, which is beautiful, is that we can all take a piece of a big dream and make that personally ours.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, if clean air is someone's passion,
uh-huh.
then someone else gets to save the whales, but
uh-huh.
they work together.
Uh-huh.
So trusting that an area that that may concern us and where, you know, is important to us but is not our dream is the dream of someone else.
Right. And how do we know that is by following our passion.
Yes.
So what ignites us, what makes us feel passionate, it's like follow your bliss and you'll be led to all of the tools and all of the opportunities to do exactly what you're meant to do. And using your emotions as a guidance system will get you there. Well, I hate to say this, Karen, but we have actually run out of time. We're at the end. It went so fast. And it's amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. So I wanted to take just a moment. I hope the listeners just, you know, get as much out of speaking with you as I do, Karen, because you're just just a font of information. I mean, I know after speaking, having you on the show last week, I just, so many things you said kept going through my mind all week. You just really inspire me. So, first of all, I thank you so much for being on the show. And I'd also like to give you an opportunity to let the listeners know where to find you and how they can get a hold of you.
Okay. And first of all, let me thank you again. I have so much fun. This time just flies by, absolutely flies by.
It does.
And I just want to send out a wave to everyone to be gentle with yourself, to pursue your dreams, and follow your path. Because you're on it. Really are. You're on the right direction, wherever you are. And, yes, Karen Wilson. My website is www.heartofcourage.com. And you can reach me at Karen@heartofcourage. And be more than happy to communicate with anyone who feels any pull or interest in communicating with me. And just thank you again, Rebecca. This
absolutely. Karen, you're wonderful.
And you are you're a light. You're just a light.
Thank you, Karen. Back at you. I mean, just I feel such synchronous, such connection to you. So let me just, before I close, I wanted to let the listeners know that they know where they can find Karen, and she does individual work, and she has her beautiful book out and visit her website. Also, you can reach me at Rebecca Grotto, www.rebeccagrado.com. And I did just start my Secret to the Secret class last Tuesday, and it filled up, and more people wanted to get on that class of releasing obstacles. So if you're interested in using this time between the eclipses to really do some good clearing out, please email me or visit my website, and there's a place on my website where you can contact me. And I'm happy to talk with you, but I just so enjoyed this and look forward to having Karen on many, many more shows. So, Karen, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and a wonderful week to all the listeners. Thank you so much for being on board with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay.
Goodbye, everybody.